Survivor fans know there's nothing more important than a tribe you can trust, and the hunt for the perfect hire can be as tough as winning an immunity challenge. But what if you could just skip the search and just match? Enter Indeed, the ultimate hiring partner. With over 350 million monthly visitors worldwide, according to Indeed data, Indeed is more than a job site. It's your personalized hiring platform. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, connecting you with candidates at the speed you need. According to a recent Indeed survey, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches. Indeed is your compass in the hiring jungle. It's a matching engine, not just for hiring, but effortlessly assembling your dream team. Indeed's matching engine learns from your preferences, leveraging over 140 million qualifications daily. The more you use it, the sharper it gets. Join 3.5 million businesses worldwide that trust Indeed for fast, quality hires. Listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/survivor. Go to Indeed.com/survivor now. Support our show by mentioning you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/survivor. Terms and conditions apply. Need a hire? You need Indeed.
CBS Friday and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Cal Fire's coming to you!
Don't miss TV's hottest show, Fire Country.
This is a high complexity rescue with a low chance of success.
Follow the rules, and you shave another day off your sentence.
Critics call it explosive and pure entertainment.
I'm a fella. I'm not fit to be anything else.
You're not an inmate. You're a firefighter.
Bring it on.
Fire Country. New episode Friday, 9, 8 central on CBS, and now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. I'm Jeff Probst, the host and showrunner of Survivor. Each week, I'm joined by Jay Wolf, Survivor fan and the producer of this podcast. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jeff.
As well as the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares. Hey, Dee.
Never gets old. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I bet it doesn't. So each week on this podcast, here's what we do. We dissect the big moments of the most recent episode of Survivor 46, and we bring you insight from three different points of view: the fan in Jay, the player in D, the producer in me. Let's get into it. It's episode 9 already. We're at episode 9 from this season.
Unreal.
Where do you want to start, Jay?
I want to start with what I'm calling, just personally, the mess. We get back from Tribal, where the outcome ended up being what everybody had wanted to begin with. Tevin gets sent home. But I feel like the warm and fuzzy feelings of alliances are no longer.
Okay. So everybody was like blindsided by like...
No one knew anything she was
talking about. He just confused so many people and created like massive chaos for no reason.
My jaw will not come off the floor. I'm so perplexed.
Tribal was bizarre because Q tried to quit. Everyone was so confused, but we had a plan to get out Tevin, and we weren't gonna let Q mess it up. If you wanna leave, there's the door, baby. Like, walk out. Don't make us do it for you.
Jeff, you said earlier that Survivor 46 would have some of the most intense gameplay of any season of Survivor. Is this one of the things that you were referring to?
Yes. So gameplay is not just moves that are made. Gameplay is also how you react to the chaos that comes from a move. So if you look at this group, they're all dynamic and they also each have their own point of view. So when something like this happens, the fallout is as interesting as the move that created the fallout. Mm. And I want to be clear, when I say that Survivor 46 will go down as one of the best seasons of gameplay in the new era, I'm not diminishing Survivor 45 or 44 or 43. It's actually a building upon. So Dee plays her season and they break new ground. Then the 46 players come in and they take that and they try to break new ground. So the game is always evolving. So you can't really compare this season's gameplay was better than that season. Survivor's always alive and always kind of fluid.
Yeah.
But I think what is really interesting about this clip you picked is there is massive opportunity in the game right now.
Dee, I want to stay on that massive opportunity. Q had said at the Tribal Council the night earlier, he wanted everyone to vote him out because he wanted everybody to feel like they could start over.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe there's an opportunity for everyone to actually start over.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also really freaking annoying because alliances are falling apart. And Q, you know, yes, he wants everyone to start over, but also he needs to start over. He completely ruined things and there's very little time left in the game. So I think this is the perfect opportunity, like we were just talking about, for the players that feel like they're at the bottom to kind of use this Q chaos to their advantage, and especially the riff with Tiff and Q telling everyone about her idol. This perfect opportunity.
Mm. I want to follow up on that with a moment that happens a bit later.
What Q pulled last night was a poser move, trying to act like a noble saint, when really he just destroyed his own game.
Well, I tell you this, even if he made it to the end, he's not getting my vote.
No, he's not getting mine.
He's not getting my vote.
Oh.
I know. Obviously, this is an extreme reaction. Do you think, D, that this is really how they feel, that they definitely wouldn't vote for Q if he made it to the final three? Or do you think he can recover from this?
Yeah, I do think that this is how they really feel. I also think Q can recover from this. Q can recover from anything. But I am a big believer that once your mind is made up in regarding your final three votes, it's over. Q has to pull off something historic for Tiff and Ben to give him the $1 million. And I don't know, it's my opinion. I'm not saying it's the right one, but I wouldn't award $1 million to someone that doesn't put my game into consideration if we're supposed to be allies. So If Q's sitting in the final three, he has to do a lot of work to get their two votes.
That's what D needs. And that's what's really changed in the last several years on Survivor, is that every player has their own need. And there's agency now in a jury. They don't feel that they have to give a vote simply based on this criteria, the one that D likes. They can do it based on their own criteria for any reason. It could be gameplay. It could be because you took care of me in the middle of the night when I had a panic attack. It could just be some intangible thing. I don't know. You're from my same hometown. I kind of like you. It doesn't matter, which is why you got to remember on Survivor, the reason it's so hard to play is not only are you voting players out, but you also have to know what they want from you in the end if you get to the final three. So that requires very astute skills in group dynamics, the reading of a personality, the understanding of someone's background and how that might impact how they see the world and therefore how they see you. Because remember, think about this. You could play what you think is a perfect game. You could win every challenge. You could find every idol. You could find every advantage and play it correctly. And even though it seems unlikely, you could still lose because they don't vote for you. On the flip side, as we've seen many times, you could never win a challenge. Not find an idol, have nothing to do with any advantages, but your social relationships are so good and the people like you so much, you could still win the game. So if there's anything you want to be good at, it's relationships, how to form them, when to stay true to them, when to avoid them, and when to blow them up.
All right, I want to take us into the next moment. Tremail arrives and it appears we're going into the three-stage challenge, something that we talked about last season on On Fire. In fact, last season on Fire, Rick Devins, shout out to Rick Devins, had theorized that Julie could have thrown that three-stage challenge to ensure more Reba votes. And this time around, we had, who else? Q, suggesting that Charlie and Maria do the same.
If you don't think you can beat them at the end in a challenge, you want to just give them another necklace?
I know we don't want to throw challenges and lose, but Hunter has to go home.
Q is telling me to throw the challenge so Hunter loses? That does not jive with me.
I want to ask you both how you feel about throwing challenges.
Well, been out on the island for a long time, and I personally would never tempt the Survivor gods. There are so many things. Okay, D's going to disagree, but there are so many things about intentionally losing that for me just would not sit well from a competitor standpoint, but also from a mojo standpoint. It's hard to win anything. So to voluntarily choose to not win and actually lose, you better be right. Otherwise, it's going to be a very tough pill to swallow when it's your torch that I'm snuffing.
D?
Well, I disagree because I usually care about what you think, Jeff, but I don't really care what you think here because I'll tell you why. It would take a lot for me to throw a challenge. I'd have to be super locked in with my alliance, or I'd have to have an idol. I'd have to have a plan B, C, and D, right? But if I have the ability to throw a challenge, I will absolutely do it. Just where it gets tricky is in faking that you didn't throw the challenge. And that's extremely hard to do. So in that moment, I don't care about morals. I don't care. I just want to win. So I disagree. I'll throw the challenge and I'll tempt the gods and just pray for the best.
And that is, we say this all the time, Jay, but that is how you have to play Survivor. 100%. So if Dee and I were locked in an alliance, she would have to persuade me to do something I don't want to do. And my fear would be, we're going to mess something up. We have something strong going. And Dee would say, no, we're sitting idle. We can't. We have to make another move. And this is the move. Jay must go. We've got to throw the challenge. That's why the game is fun to play, because it is about persuasion. And that's what we were just talking about earlier in terms of when you get to the final three. It's all about relationships. Always, always, always.
All right, let's get into the next moment. Before we got into the challenge itself, I felt like I had my job on this podcast threatened a little bit.
Oh.
I'm going to put my Survivor fan hat on again and go out on a limb right now, Q, and say that you, Liz, and Venus are first out and have no shot. What? Let's see.
Thanks for that, Jeff.
Prove me wrong.
Thanks for that vote of confidence, Jeff.
I'm going to put my Survivor fan hat on here, Jeff. And say, we don't often hear you speculating as to the outcome of the challenge immediately before the challenge. Is there something new going on with you?
It's a good question. I mean, yeah, I think I'm always evolving, but I wish I could tell you I had a specific approach to how I host Survivor, but I don't. The only two things I've stayed true to over 23 years is being myself and asking the questions that I think the audience is asking at home. So when you take the audience point of view as your point of view, it gives you a lot of room to roam, because there is so much human behavior on display and so many decisions being made at any given moment. Then you merge that with just my own personality, which is endlessly curious, especially about why we behave the way we do. Then you see why this is the perfect job for me. I can't imagine being stimulated like I am on Survivor on another show.
So all of that being said, after your speculation, you ended up being incorrect and they made it to the second stage. How did it feel to eat that humble pie?
I loved it. I have no problem being wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I just like being a part of the game. So when the players engage with me and laugh and banter, or as Dee said, they tell me a lie about something that's happening that isn't happening, I like all that. I have no problem being wrong. That happens all the time. I just want to be involved. And in this case, I do think the audience was thinking what I was thinking, which is, ooh, they're going to have a tough go of it. They didn't win, but they certainly did a lot better than I thought they were going to do. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Ben had three words on this challenge: chill, mad, hard. We're going to take a look at the pain threshold on Survivor and how this challenge was anything but chill. Be right back. Survivor fans know there's nothing more important than a tribe you can trust, and the hunt for the perfect hire can be as tough as winning an immunity challenge. But what if you could just skip the search and just match? Enter Indeed, the ultimate hiring partner. With over 350 million monthly visitors worldwide, according to Indeed data, Indeed is more than a job site. It's your personalized hiring platform. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, connecting you with candidates at the speed you need. According to a recent Indeed survey, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches. Indeed is your compass in the hiring jungle. It's a matching engine, not just for hiring, but effortlessly assembling your dream team. Indeed's matching engine learns from your preferences, leveraging over 140 million qualifications daily. The more you use it, the sharper it gets. Join 3.5 million businesses worldwide that trust Indeed for fast, quality hires. Listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/survivor. Go to Indeed.com/survivor now. Support our show by mentioning you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/survivor. Terms and conditions apply. Need a hire? You need Indeed. Walking into Tribal Council on Survivor, you want to know where the votes are landing, or it could be your torch that is being snuffed. And in everyday life, it's the same with your money. If you're not keeping track, it could be gone before you know it. So align yourself with Rocket Money to help you get the inside scoop on where your money is going so you can stay in control. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/survivor. That's rocketmoney.com/survivor. rocketmoney.com/survivor. Welcome back to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. All right, Jay, next moment.
Yeah, I want to talk about pain, specifically the third part of this three-stage challenge. Hold on to this pole. Don't let your back move. Balance on this tiny foothold. In the words of Ben, chill mad hard. We saw shots of Charlie and Hunter's feet as they attempted to outlast one another. They were the final two left in the challenge. They're trembling. They're shaking. They're convulsing. You said yourself, Jeff, at some point, there is no relief in this challenge.
Right.
Which made me wonder, where is the pain threshold on Survivor?
Well, it's one of the things we examine a lot when we are testing endurance challenges like this one. And it actually comes down not to how bad is the pain, but how long can they stay in the challenge before they give out to the pain. So we ask a lot of our dream team to really push themselves far beyond where they are comfortable going, because it's vital that we have a very good idea of how any challenge is going to play out. So when you see a challenge like that, this means that what we've done before the players got there is we have tested it many times with our dream team. And based on that testing, we have adjusted the challenge to ensure that it lasts at least as long as the minimum amount of time we need it to last. And it goes back to something Dee said in an earlier episode of this podcast. We were talking about get a grip, and she said it came down to 5 seconds, 5 second increments. Can I hold on 5 seconds longer? That's what we're testing with our dream team. How many 5 second increments will a player have before they give out? And so that's why the mental game in an endurance challenge is just as important as the physical stamina, because you don't want the other person next to you to look over and see you trembling or your feet starting to wobble, because that might inspire them for 5 more seconds. Instead, you want them to look down and think, oh my God, Dee does not look like she's struggling at all. I don't know if I can go 5 more seconds.
Dee, chip in on that. What is the threshold for you as the player? Is it literally just take the pain until your brain says nope?
Yeah, look, honestly, setting records is super cool as a player. I think it's more of like an ego thing, if anything. For me, it's like, I just want to win. I don't care to set any records the dream team did or anything. And Jeff, it's really interesting that you mentioned that you got to be careful in how you show yourself, because I was thinking that in every challenge, even if I didn't win, you cannot let your competition know that you are struggling. But Jay, to answer your question, I don't really think it's more of like take the pain until your brain can't take it anymore. I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. It's actually of like, where else can I take my mind and for how long? I know this sounds crazy, but when you're in one of these endurance challenges, you want to make sure that your mind is focusing on anything else other than the challenge. So even though Hunter and Charlie were trembling, you just got to think about your family. You got to think about the vacation coming up. You got to think about your dogs. Like, think about anything other than the endurance challenge. And I think that that's where it lies.
And you know, I have a part in that as well, Jay, because there are times when I am talking to the players to keep them awake.
Yeah.
Because I know this is an endurance challenge that they might nod off. And if you nod off, you might drop the ball or whatever. But I often say to the players, tell me if you want me to be quiet. And I will, because I don't want to mess you up. I am genuinely trying to help you. So when I say, you can hang in there a little longer, I'm not being the devil saying, I hope you don't. I'm literally trying to remind you, just 5 more seconds, go 5 more seconds, go 5 more seconds.
Yep.
So that we're all out there trying to see how far they can push themselves. Even in defeat, it can feel great to say, wow, I lasted a lot longer than I thought I would.
Yeah. And actually some players, like, there were some moments where I'd tune you out, but there were other moments where it actually helped. So it just kind of depends on the challenge too.
You know, one thing, Dee, that I couldn't stop thinking about when you were talking about the challenge just now is how in any professional sporting event, as soon as the athletes are finished, they have like a post-match rehab. They go into an ice bath. They get a massage. You're on Survivor. You don't have a post-match rehab. So how do you deal with going through this challenge and then immediately having to go back to camp?
I wish we did, but honestly, it's not even a consideration. We just finished the challenge. Our whole body's hurting. We're trying to think, oh my God, we got to go back to camp. Now we still have to strategize. Whether you win or lose, you have to go back to strategize. it's not a consideration, I'm telling you, Jade, like, at all. We're going back to sleep on bamboo. Even if it was a consideration, like, it doesn't really matter.
All right, let's get into the next moment. I want to talk about exactly what you're saying, D. You have to go back and strategize. And the alliances are dissolving left and right.
I have a plan, but it cannot leave right here.
Okay.
How do you feel about Tiff's idol?
Any idol in the game makes me nervous.
Tiff's feeling so comfortable here that now we could pull off a blindside. Mm-hmm. Easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Easy.
Tiff has been my number one this whole game. I understand that. And her and I are very competitive people. I love her so much for it, and I respect her for it, but it's always gonna be like, you or me first, girl. And so I would rather go out swinging than eating popcorn on the sidelines.
Kenzie doesn't want to be eating popcorn on the sidelines, which is a fun little Easter egg we'll get into next. But here I want to talk about another alliance that's falling apart. This time, Tiff and Kenzie. We're down to the final nine. It seems like, to me, D, everyone is pretty much alone outside of Charlie and Maria. Is an alliance necessary, or can they really just do this tribal to tribal? And does it change the strategy of the game?
Look, I hope that they do this tribal to tribal, because that's a fan. It's so much fun to watch. I am living for the messiness. But look, I'm a big fan of alliances. Mm. I really do think that you can't play the game on your own. And it 100% changes the strategic game, because now you're way less safer in these tribals. Everyone's an option. And you don't even have options in front of you. So you really do need to switch your gameplay without solid alliances. And that might look like playing from the bottom. If you're used to playing from the top, now you got to keep your mouth shut. Now you can't initiate votes. You're basically just existing instead of playing. So to be honest, I feel like it's a lot harder doing this from tribal to tribal.
Mm. Okay, the next thing I want to get to is the popcorn. Jeff, you decided to bring a bowl of popcorn as well as a cushion to Tribal Council. And then you did something I never expected. You shared.
Oh my God.
I'm about to have like a heart attack.
Liz, can you eat popcorn?
Yes! I haven't eaten in over 72 hours.
Let's all just take a moment. Liz can eat something on Survivor.
Thank you, Jeff.
Before we talk about Liz, I want to talk about the popcorn moment, Jeff. Where did this come from?
It came to me about 45 minutes before I left for tribal that night. I was just thinking about the last couple of tribals, and I was wondering what to expect. And then I realized, I'm actually really looking forward to this in the same way I would a new episode of my favorite TV show. So why not treat it that way? So I literally just started a little text chain with Matt and Quigley, and I said, hey, I got an idea. I want to bring popcorn to tribal. And then what we did is what we always do, and we do it with every idea. We keep exploring it. So Quigley says, hey, you remember we have that really large popcorn maker machine? I mean, it's one of those ones you see at a movie theater with the big metal thing, and it pops hundreds of bags of popcorn. He said we could bring that. I was like, yeah. And then we could just let them walk back and forth during tribal. They could just refill themselves with as much popcorn as they want. And then you start thinking, it's kind of distracting, and it kind of gets into the whole food thing that we've been working on for 20 days. No, that's too far. So we ended up just with a bowl of popcorn. And then I called Zach Jensen, who oversees all of art alongside Simo, and said, hey, can you just bring a really small bowl? Then I called our kitchen. Can I get a little bit of popcorn? And then unbeknownst to me, it was Zach who had Rohit. Rohit's the guy who made the big geckos.
Oh, wow.
Jay, he made that cushion in the 45 minutes before tribal.
Unbelievable.
Remember how I said we're always working, like every department is always working? I showed up and Zach said, oh, yeah, Rohit sewed this for you. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, no, he just took a little material and he made one for your butt. You know, we have your butt imprint. So there you go. So I got my own butt cushion.
Call Rohit.
Rohit, man, what a legend. All right. I want to follow up on Liz. She's obviously allergic to a lot. And Jeff, we get a lot of fan questions from folks with specific medical conditions or food restrictions. And they ask, hey, should I apply even though I have these restrictions? With Liz out there eating very, very little, do you have thoughts on this in general?
Well, I'd be very curious what Dee's take on this is, but from a producer standpoint, we're very clear with the players before they leave what to expect. So Liz knew exactly what she was in for. What is surprising is that she still said yes to playing. So yeah, she's struggling. We can all see that. That's part of her adventure on Survivor. We don't modify the game because somebody has an allergy.
Yeah, obviously it's definitely her choice. And I think Liz is a powerhouse. I don't know how in the world she has gone this long being allergic to coconut. I struggled so much and I cried almost every day because of hunger. So good for Liz for saying yes to this adventure, because I personally don't think I could do it if I was allergic to so many things out there.
All right, let's take one more break and then let's talk about idols. What do I know about who has an idol? What do I know about if they might be thinking about playing it? We'll talk about that plus your questions. Be right back.
Listen, wearing the same clothes for 26 days straight on Survivor really made me realize the importance of buying high-quality, long-lasting clothes. That's why I love Quince. They have timeless, well-made pieces that last for years and don't go out of style. Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear. Buying pieces from Quince means that I don't have to keep buying new clothes every year, which is better for my wallet and the environment. I recently got a super chic Italian leather tote from Quince, and I'm loving how it looks. The best part about Quince is that by partnering directly with top factories, they're able to keep prices super affordable. I'm talking 50 to 80% cheaper than similar brands. And the other best part is that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. I love that. Upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/survivor for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/survivor to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/survivor.
CBS Friday and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Cal Fire's coming to you!
Don't miss TV's hottest show, Fire Country.
This is a high complexity rescue with a low chance of success.
Follow the rules, and you shave another day off your sentence.
Critics call it explosive and pure entertainment.
I'm a fella. I'm not fit to be anything else.
You're not an inmate. You're a firefighter.
Bring it on.
Fire Country. New episode Friday, 9, 8 central on CBS, and now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. All right, bring it home, Jay.
All right, I want to talk about these idols at Tribal Council. We hear a lot about these two idols. First, Tiff tells us, I've got to play this idol tonight. It's got a target on my back. I don't even want this idol anymore. Then, extremely unexpectedly, a little disappointingly for me, the fan, Hunter decides to tell every single person about the fact that he has an idol at the last minute.
I have an idol. I'm playing it.
Okay.
You look like you're unimpressed.
No, until I'm unimpressed, so now I'm rethinking the numbers.
My favorite part of that clip is Hunter, in the middle of revealing an idol, is reading Venus, which we talk about, and saying, you're not even impressed that I have an idol.
Yeah.
That was great.
Honestly, Hunter, I'm a little unimpressed because you told her. I would have been more impressed if you had just played it. So, Jeff, my question for you is, going into this tribal, what do you know about the likelihood of whether Tiff or Hunter are going to play their idols? And is it the same as what I know?
Yeah, it's the same, which means it's nothing. I mean, you know, I know who has an idol for sure, but it's extremely rare when a player will say in interview, I am 100% playing this no matter what, because the no matter what is situational. And you might get in there and suddenly something happens and you realize, oh, wait, I might not have to play this. I could hold it for another week. So I don't listen to any of that nonsense. When they walk into tribal, they can declare, I'm going to pull it out right now, Jeff, and show everybody I'll be playing this tonight. Yeah, maybe, or maybe not, or maybe that thing isn't even an idol in the first place. Mm. So I say nothing. I love being a witness. It's why I brought popcorn, because it's the greatest live theater of all time. But there is no universal plan that we show up to tribal and it's going to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And you can ask D, how many times did you go into tribal with a lot of uncertainty?
All the time, every single tribal.
There you go.
Okay, so D, I obviously want to talk about the fact that Hunter revealed this idol at the 11th hour, moments before going to tribal council. I had one theory, and that theory was this. By telling people, Hunter was preventing the rest of the tribe from feeling blindsided by the fact that he hadn't told a single person that he had an idol. Is that a worthy theory?
Yeah, that is a great question. I don't think Hunter should have said anything about his idol, but I can see how as a player, he'd lose trust of the tribe mates because he did blindside them. But that is a pro-Hunter action. I think even deeper than losing their trust, I think Hunter should have been worried about, like, I just pulled off such a big move because I didn't tell anyone about my idol. Again, he didn't ruin anyone else's game other than the person he would have blindsided. But I don't think he should have told anyone. Mm.
And Jay, this is the theme of what we've talked about a lot in this episode. This is Dee's point of view. For Dee, she would respect the fact that Hunter kept that secret the entire time and then used it. And she would say, that's the kind of player I want. Mm. It could be the person you put on the jury says, you're not getting my vote because I was in your alliance and you never told me you had an idol. And then I ended up going home. That's why there is only one way to play Survivor, on your specific individual terms.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we didn't see either of the idols come out. We had a tie, which I didn't expect whatsoever. Q's vote for Ben throwing everything for a loop, and then Q ultimately ending up safe because the rest of the tribe realized, oh, this is our shot at Hunter, and they sent him home. Jeff, do you have any last thoughts on Hunter as we bid him goodbye?
Yes, I loved Hunter. He was a joy to have on the show. And even if Hunter was down or overstimulated, I remember in an early episode, he said, the only thing I don't like about this whole camp life is all the singing and everything. So I think sometimes he just needed time away from people energetically, you know, but he never let that bring him down. He was always positive. This is the guy that lives in a very small town. And he stayed in that small town, even though he was offered a couple of $100,000 in medical scholarships, because he decided, I can do better work here, working with troubled high school kids. And he builds these challenges kind of based on Survivor. And he shows them ways to inspire themselves and shows them that they're capable of more than they think. That's why they were smart to get rid of him. Hunter is an all-around threat. Mm. And it was always going to be hard for him to win the game. But I'm so happy he was on.
Yeah, he was amazing to watch. Just hanging backwards on Get a Grip on that pole, man. I don't think anybody will forget that anytime soon.
That was iconic.
All right, let's get into some fan questions. And as a reminder, if you have a question for Jeff or Dee or me, you can email us at survivorshoutout@cbs.com. And I read those questions. I might even read them here. The first one comes from Megan. She writes, hi, DJ and Jeff. Longtime player from the couch and on fire listener, first time writer. I was hoping you guys could help clarify a question that has broken my brain for the past few weeks. In season 46, episode 5, how was Hunter able to participate in the journey challenge when he had already lost his vote to the Beware advantage? The buy-in for the journey challenge was sacrificing your vote, but in theory, he didn't have one to sacrifice. If you don't have anything to ante up, how do you sit at the table?
Yeah, it's a very astute question, but it's not about needing a vote in order to play. There's no limit to how many votes a player can lose. Here's how it works. When you find a Beware advantage, you cannot vote until you secure the idol, but you haven't lost your vote. It's actually more severe than that. You can't vote until you secure it. It could be one tribal, two tribal, three tribals. But once you find the idol, you restore your ability to participate in the vote. So that's a Beware advantage. With the journey, it's different. You lose your next vote. So here's how it works. In this case, Hunter cannot vote until he finds the Beware idol, but he can still risk his vote. It just won't come into play until he can vote. So in this case, Hunter found the Beware idol at the merge, which restored his ability to vote. But since he had lost his next vote, he didn't have a vote to vote with. And that's how it played out. Hunter did not have a vote in his first tribal council. Where it does matter is shot in the dark. For that, you must have the ability to vote and you must have a vote to play in exchange for your shot in the dark.
All right. Next question is from Scott. My question is this. Can contestants study what may be edible out in the wild in Fiji and use that to supplement their island diet? Can contestants ask producers or even Jeff if certain things are edible?
Well, Dee, why don't you answer this? You remember, we give you an island guide. What's in it?
Yeah, we get an island guide and we study it before we actually play the game. And in the guide, it's poisonous animals, it's fruits that you cannot eat. You just got to remember what's poisonous and what's not. But also, there's not that much fruit out in the island anyway. And if you do find something that kind of like looks iffy, you should definitely ask a producer. Obviously, they will not let you get sick.
Yeah, that's true. What I think is most interesting is I think the island guide, instead of looking like an ally, it looks like homework. And it's every season, Jay, players kind of go, yeah, I get it. And then they go out there.
I just want to play.
Yeah, they just want to play. But we do give them an island guide that shows you a few things about island living. But I also understand that you just like, give me the ball. I just want to shoot. I don't want you to tell me how to shoot. Just give me the damn ball.
Maybe you need to hide a beware advantage in the island guide. Then everybody be looking at it, Jeff. All right. Question number three comes from Ryan. He writes, hey guys, huge fan of the podcast. So many insights in the episode. Please keep it up. Question is about tribal council. When players write their vote on parchment, how often do the markers get switched out? They always look so new and sharp.
Wow.
I use markers every day at work and I'm jealous of the brand you use. So thanks for reading and answering this.
Well, I've never been asked this question, but I would say probably every few tribals. I know this. I don't worry about it because our onset team at Tribal is so switched on. They check Tribal. They check everything from fires to parchment to markers to the shot in the dark bag to the steps you walk to get up to Tribal. So I don't ever worry about a thing at Tribal. It is such a joy to walk into this amazing set and know that everything is as it should be. And all I have to do is my job.
Love that.
All right, that's it for this week's episode of On Fire. If you enjoy the show and you have a moment, we'd love a rating. It's helping us grow.
And if you really want to go for it, you can leave us a review like this one that comes from Bush One on Apple Podcasts that says, a really fun podcast. Diehard fans of the show will love all the behind scenes insight on what it takes to make the king of reality competition shows and all the hard work that goes into it. Players like Rick and Dee provide a great perspective, and Jeff, as a host and showrunner, tells us the thought processes that goes into every production decision as they dissect every episode. A must listen for all true fans of Survivor.
Wow, thanks. And if you do leave us a review, we might just read it here, so go do that wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's a brand new episode of Survivor every Wednesday at 8, 7 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. I'm so ready for another one right now, and I work on this show. And immediately following the episode, there's a new episode of this podcast. It's called On Fire. See you then.
Friday and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Cal Fire's coming to you!
Don't miss TV's hottest show, Fire Country.
This is a high complexity rescue with a low chance of success.
Follow the rules, and you shave another day off your sentence.
Critics call it explosive and pure entertainment.
I'm a fella. I'm not fit to be anything else.
You're not an inmate. You're a firefighter.
Bring it on.
Fire Country. New episode Friday, 9, 8 Central on CBS, and now streaming on Paramount Plus.